So anyway, I came out here in 66, and I was, you know, it was a small community then, right, of students, of writers, of poets, of everything, like all Vancouver. It was easy to, at that time, was easy to connect. Now, I came out to stay with a girlfriend from my next door neighbor from Montreal, and she was living in the same building as Ken Ryan and a bunch of other people. She knew Dave Rimmer and Colin Thompson and all those, because she had been at UBC. She was taking courses from Stan Fox and stuff. So I just sort of really easily entered that that scene, right? And Bill Bissett lived next door. Yeah, so there was this Fourth Avenue, you know, it was a hippie scene, but it was also, like, we were all so creative, even those of us who weren't dedicated artists, right? And we were all at that time in our lives where we were, where that creativity was accessible, right? And because of the kind of openness, I think, of the scene here, a lot of things got started that that couldn't have started with, you know, if there were, they were sort of parallel to the institutions, right? And the art school, like we had a lot of people at the art school, and it, people were striking out in all kinds of directions and stuff like that. It was a fabulous time to be here, actually. I had excelled in art in high school, right?
Right.
My father paints, so I grew up around a lot of painting and stuff, and I always, well, at that age, I didn't know, but I always felt that I had an artist's soul, right? Whatever that means. And I didn't know what form it would take. And so I was just playing, and I was being among people who perceived, like, for me, what was personally very satisfying about when I came out here and met up with this group of people was they were people who looked not necessarily at the world the way I did, like we weren't all like-minded, but people who were really interested in perception and use that part of their minds. Like, I remember as a kid, I used to feel weird. I'd go for walks with friends, and all of a sudden, I'd be stopped by something on the street that either was some strange juxtaposition, still happens to me, of images or something like that. And I'd stop, and I'd say, "Wow, look at that." And the person would go, "Uh-huh." And because we'd be walking to somewhere, right? So here I was with a group of people who understood that. Maybe they expressed themselves in all kinds of different ways, but at least they knew about that.
So did you feel that was missing in your life in Montreal? Were you like, yeah.
Well, I was, what I was there was a folky, a lefty, a little bit of a beatniky girl. I was a teenager, right? And, you know, and then I went to McGill for a while. And
what did you take there, like liberal arts?
Yeah, liberal arts. And I struggled. I had a terrible time. Hated it. I was too young. I went when I was 16.
Yeah, you finished high school at 16.
Yeah,
I did too. Isn't that odd?
I know.
When you think about that.
I know.
Yeah.
And I was basically forced into university, right? So that it was. So I struggled there for 3 years. And I had really dear, close friends. But basically our, you know, people were trying to finish their bachelor's degrees. And at that time I wanted to be an anthropologist. And I had a boyfriend. And we were both going to be anthropologists together and go to Africa and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And, you know. And then, I mean, actually, this is how I recall it. I don't know if it's true, but I woke up one morning and I said, oh my God, the road's too straight. Exactly that. And I called Joe and I told him that we were breaking up. And I stayed there another 6 months. I tried to finish out the school year without flunking too much. And then headed out here, where I had been before. I had come out here a couple of summers before. The summer before that and the summer before that, because I was part of the peace movement and there was a lot of action out here. So the first summer I came out and stayed at the Peace House.
So that would have been in 65?
I came out 64 and 65.
Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then went back and continued school.
Peter Light, was he part of the Peace House?
Yeah, and the second year I came, I stayed with the Lights, actually.
Uh-huh. Are you in touch with them at all?
I run into Linda Light. She's one of the sisters, and Karen Light and Keith Light occasionally at the beach.
So are they the children?
Gunter and I'm blank on her name were the parents, and Peter was the eldest son. Linda, Keith and Karen were the twins, and I can't remember who the youngest was at the moment.
Did they all grow up with the same sensibility?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were all part of that sort of movement in a way.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, they were, you know, it's like they were red diaper babies, as I was. Right. So, their father was an extremist, a real radical. Like Peter came by it, honestly. They were incredible. They were. Lois Light was the mom, and she was I thought she was a dream mom. Right, I thought she was. They made a suite in their basement. They lived on 3rd and somewhere by the beach. They made a suite in their basement, and as each child got into the "I want to move out" phase, they'd go down there. She'd send them down there. And she'd say, okay, when you stop coming up for meals and asking me to do your laundry, then you can move out. Right.
So when you said you were a red diaper baby, so your parents were communist?
My parents were non-card-carrying communists. My mother was a teacher. She was afraid to carry a card.
Or I should say socialist.
Right? Yeah. And they, until about 57 or so, was it, what year was it? Anyway, when the Stalin stuff got revealed as clearly as it did, they lost their faith, right? So, but they still carried a lot of those points of view and values, for example, and took me to my early peace marches until I started going by myself. They were also, they were interested in the arts, as I told you. My dad painted, and they were, you know. They read and they discussed and they had these great friendship groups. And My mother took me to my first
all the things you can do without
film.
Television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I was like 12 or 13. She took me to Ingmar Bergman's The Seventh Seal, mm-hmm. right? And it was a completely stunning experience for me. Completely stunning. Right. I remember that. So they kind of, I think, gave me some guidance in that way. And I'm grateful to them for that. But I also had to get away from them. Because as wonderful as their values were, they were very hard people to live with and hard to please.
So were you introduced to drugs in Montreal?
Yeah.
Did they have an influence on your sudden sort of, you know, a realization that the road was too straight?
I'm not sure if they did, because in our little group, we were pretty innocent. Like, I basically only got introduced to pot.
Right.
And we were pretty innocent, you know. We used to sit around my boyfriend's apartment and flick lights on and off and watch The After Image.
I mean, No. Pretty innocent.
Yeah. No, it was more out here that I got, you know, the introduction, sort of. Because people were doing a lot of pot and LSD and mescaline a little bit. And so that might have had an influence. I think the Road's Too Straight came from something else, though, because that actually was before even... and let me tell you, I sometimes regret that I did that, but that I, you know, sort of said the road's too straight, because the road got very curvy and pretty hard at some times. But it was just that I could see, I mean, I loved Joe, my boyfriend. But I could just see it. We were going to finish our bachelor's. We were going to live together in our last year. Then we were going to go to Africa. Then we'd come back, and one of us would do a master's degree, and then the other would do the master's degree. And then we'd have children, and we wouldn't name the children because, you know, who knew what children's spirits or souls would be. So we'd call them, hey you with the runny nose, hey you with the blue eyes, until they named themselves, you know. And then, you know, we were going to probably teach at university or something. And anyway, it just, I didn't like knowing. I didn't like, and it turned out that the next woman he was with, he did exactly all that. Not that they had a bad life, but...
It wasn't for you.
It wasn't for me. I didn't like knowing all that.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like a prescription in a way.
Yeah. I wanted more adventure, I think. I had always had a little secret spiritual life. I was brought up by people who told, you know, when I came home from grade one and said they want to know what my religion is, they told me that we were atheists. So, and I was in a Protestant school, board school, and we started the school, the day with Lord's Prayer and stuff. So I always had a little, like, secret spiritual life. And I had my own little rock that I called God's Rock, and I went and did what I later learned was some form of contemplation. But so I had, you know, I had something. So when I came out here, and there were a lot of people on spiritual quests, right? It was like, it was really easy for me to step into that. It was, and I read, you know, I read tons, and we talked tons, and